Yes, sir, we promised you a great
gorgeous George. Here
Freddie Blassie, the maker of
Andre, the Giant.
WrestleMania!
Do I have everybody's attention now?
The Right Hook is a Pantsless Digression production.
Do you like parties?
Yeah.
We can invite all our friends and have soda and pie.
Yeah!
I hope no bad people show up.
Disregard that, Frank. It's a bunch of liberal bullshit.
Been alive and see the top for the rock still. From the streets to Shanghai back to Knoxville. Sitting high on a mountain top, holding shop, spreading the good news. Been a lot of false prophets and quick hits. And a lot of un-American bullshit. But the time has come to settle and the devil's gonna make you choose. And just like a cold wind blowing, can you feel me coming?
I think a lot of people, since the untimely passing of Andrew Breitbart, there's one clip of him that seems to be getting a lot of play on the internet.
I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
AKA pound sign war. That's actually from a new documentary coming out called Hating Breitbart. This is actually announced, or this, where I first heard about it was at the CPACs last month, where these filmmakers followed Andrew Breitbart around from the start of the Tea Party up until around Wienergate. And they found themselves sitting on what is easily the most anticipated political documentary of all time. Andrew Marcus, who's a director and producer of the film, was nice enough to share his thoughts on the man and the movie, tell us what comes next. So, without further ado... Andrew Marcus, welcome to The Right Hook.
Hello. How are you?
Good. So due to recent events, you happen to be sitting on what is probably the most anticipated political documentary that happened sometime. What exactly is Hating Breitbart?
Well, Hating Breitbart is a film, as it sounds by name, a film about hating Andrew Breitbart. We had the fortunate pleasure of following Andrew from early on, just after the launch of Big Government and the Acorn Story, pretty much all the way up through Wienergate. And, it was an incredible ride, and, we stumbled upon it, almost completely by accident. But, along the way of, traveling with him, we witnessed a machine of hatred aimed not just at him, but at the Tea Party movement, which he was, felt very near and dear to. It was close to his heart. He spoke at many Tea Party functions. And when the Tea Party was, branded as racist and homophobic and, all sorts of terrible things, he really came to the rescue because he was, he felt it very personally. He was very disturbed by the use of this hatred, the use of race as a weapon. He was personally offended by that, and I think that's partly because he was also very much a target of it, just like the Tea Party was. So it really, we have a behind-the-scenes look at his struggle, his fight through, against this machine of hatred. And I think we really expose it from an angle that most people haven't seen.
Okay. We'll get to the specifics of the movie in a minute, but the question that a lot of people have been wondering with his unfortunate passing, which I think was last week or the week before, does that change the movie at all for you guys?
Well, listen, let me tell you, in a way it does in that, we were pretty much done with the film. We were in the very last stages of post-production, okay? So it's not like we were halfway through filming and, oops, suddenly, the main protagonist is no longer, available. That wasn't really the case. So in terms of it changing the story about the battle he was involved with and all of that, it's not so much that it changes those details. What it changes is the meaning of it and the impact of it. We've gone through and it was difficult to pick up again and go through our line and take a look at it because, we were very close to him and for a long time. And so it's difficult to do. But, in looking at our line, we can already see, something that was just a light joke before now carries different meaning. It carries different weight. So in that sense, his passing absolutely has an effect on our story, but I don't think it exactly has an effect on our story in that we need to go in and try and figure out what to do with this film now. So,
mm-hmm. When while you were filming the show, and you said you're looking at a lot of the hatred coming towards Breitbart and the Tea Party. Now, I'm from New York, so liberal hatred, after 2004, when comparing George Bush to a Nazi and saying that he brought down the Twin Towers was considered acceptable political rhetoric, very little shocks me that comes out of the left. Was there anything particularly surprising you found over, the 2 years you were filming this?
Really, I think one of the most profoundly disturbing things that I've seen, and I certainly was not naive coming into this project. I have followed these things for some time, and I know how it can be. I was still absolutely shocked at the story of the Congressional Black Caucus lying, outright lying, about the use of the N-word when they passed the Obamacare. If you're like me, you're a fan of the civil rights movement. You're a fan of civil rights for all, correct?
Yeah.
So that being the case, the people who were central to some of the early critical moments of the civil rights movement, to have them behave so, for lack of a better word, racialist, to have them behave so poorly when it comes to race in this country, to malign people with a lie. Even for somebody who is, seasoned or cynical, such as myself, that was still, in a way, devastating. It's a new low. When you look to the other side, when you look to people who have opposing viewpoints from you, you look to try and find common ground. Where do I agree with some of the things that you've done or said in the past? Looking at the early part of the civil rights movement, every American should take pride in what the bravery of those people. And to see them just so horrendously besmirch the legacy of all of that work and that movement, to me it's just disheartening and horrifying.
And you'd said that you've the way it looks like you had unprecedented access to Andrew Breitbart, the one thing I always find interesting is that you got a lot of these people who they start blogging or they start radio shows and they get a little bit of a popularity. And outside of what we do, no one knows who they are. So inside of what they do, they seem to get like big heads and have like the superstar syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
The few instances I've been with Andrew Breitbart and other people who've spoken to him, he was like the biggest we had. And yet he would still have time for literally anyone who wanted to talk to him, which is something that some of my non-conservative friends don't seem to get when I say that I was actually a fan of his. Well, spending the past 2 years with him, what were some things that surprised you about him?
Well, geez, almost everything surprises you about him. he's not short on surprise. He's, and I think anybody who has ever been a detractor of his that gets to know him, they almost all will tell you that, boy, that's just, he's just not what I expected. He was a very funny and jovial guy, believe it or not. And it's interesting because most of the outside world looking in saw him as this angry, brooding guy. And, you know, while he had his righteous indignation, he wasn't afraid to show his indignation. He was, by and large, a laughing, what is it they've been saying? The happy warrior. Boy,
yeah.
That's absolutely true. He really was a happy warrior. And he wasn't afraid to take the slings and the arrows for the people around him. Mm. You know, he was tireless. He was absolutely tireless. And speaking to your point about that he had time for anybody, we were in Washington, D.C. filming the Tax Day Tea Party of 2010.
Okay.
This was a long day for Andrew. He flew in from God knows where. Okay, he's immediately greeted at the hotel by Terry Moran of Nightline. They're following him around doing a story on him. Okay, and he's, to give you some context, he's just recently offered $100,000 for anyone who can produce any evidence whatsoever that the N-word was said during the passing of Obamacare.
Okay.
And he's followed by Terry all day long. Now he goes to the tea party. He's at the tea party for hours, and he goes and he speaks, and he has a tremendous speech, knocks it out of the ballpark, has the crowd going crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Top of his game. We have been filming him for hours. We get to the end of our film day. We break down. We release our crew. Everybody is gone. It's been a tremendously long day. The stage is being broken down and packed up into a truck. The lights are out. It's over, okay? We're in a cab with the crew driving to go back to our hotel, and we look out the window. We're at a stoplight, and who is standing on the corner holding court? Andrew Breitbart. And he's talking to just anybody who wanted to talk to him. He made himself incredibly available. He was very accessible and never shied away from talking with anybody, whether you loved him or you hate him. He was willing to talk with you because he just, that's the kind of guy he was. We were driving away exhausted, and this guy who never seemed to tire was still there on the corner, you know, going through it with people. And in fact, I saw the video of somebody who was talking to him on that corner, and it was somebody from, obviously, you know, from a group of his detractors, and they took the video that they recorded of him on that corner, and they cut it up into little pieces and rearranged all his words because they were trying to make the point that he re-edits everybody. And so they really sort of abused his time, but I don't think he would have cared. I think he was he really was that happy warrior, and he did not mind standing on the corner at 11 o'clock at night after the show was already over, and still just keep going.
Yeah, everyone seems to have their at least one favorite Breitbart moment, which I know for me, coming from New York and being shocked that we would ever even possibly have a Republican congressman in New York City. For me, it was when Anthony Weiner was doing his press conference, and out of nowhere, he takes over the press conference
right
before it starts.
Right.
And to the point where people forgot, like, you know, why else they were there.
Right.
The past 2 years, well, I mean, what's been your favorite Breitbart moment that you were there for?
Boy, I'll tell you, there are several, and they're in the film. And I'll tell you, one of them is certainly the Wienergate moment that you're talking about. And, you know, none of us knew that was going to unfold. That was actually, and this is typical Andrew, that was very spontaneous. He figured he would go. He did not intend to go up onto the podium. You know, he was in the back of the room. I think he knew, of course, that he would be able to get his narrative, inject his narrative in there to some degree, but I don't think that he had any idea that he was going to end up creating that spectacular moment that I think blew away everybody that was watching it, me included. I mean, I was sitting on my couch at my computer doing my work, and I saw him come on air, and I just nearly fell off the couch. I couldn't believe it. You know, that's a top moment. That's definitely a top moment. But there are other moments, like where we're in D.C. for that Tax Day Tea Party rally, and he makes his point that the that the N-word wasn't said and that the Congressional Black Caucus is full of crap by when he's speaking to this Tea Party of thousands of people in front of the Washington Monument. It's filled with a sea of people. And he says, everybody put your cameras in the air. Everybody put your cameras in the air. Look at that mainstream media, you BS artist. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on your show.
It's the internet.
He says, look at that mainstream media, you bullshit artist. How dare you impugn these people's reputations? And he just was such a passionate fighter for people he saw as being wrongly maligned. And that was really just one of the top shining examples where this man was a hero to people who, you know, only knew him from the audience, but nonetheless, he was there to fight for them just as much as if, you know, they were his brother or sister. That's how he was.
Yeah. And one of his big things was conservatives need to get more involved in the culture because the culture is how you change minds. And I've noticed in the past couple of years I've been involved, there's been a growing number of conservative filmmakers and conservative documentaries coming out. Was this really your first idea to make a movie, or were you always interested in becoming like a filmmaker?
Well, listen, you know, well, I went to film school, so this has been in my background for some time. And, you know, I'll tell you, the way that we came into this particular project, I had been on the ground documenting protests for some time. I had, you know, the anti-war movement, you know, going out of Chicago to D.C., I was on the ground at the conventions in Denver and in Minneapolis. So I really, you know, I had a lot of experience just videotaping protests on the ground. And when the Tea Party started, I live in Chicago, and, you know, one of the first Tea Parties, you know, happened here. And I, you know, made it a point to just get on the street and begin documenting whatever it was that was happening. And I didn't know what the Tea Party would become at the time, but I figured, you know, after a few different Tea Parties that I captured, you know, I was working on a library, essentially, of footage of, you know, what might be archival footage of the Tea Party, if it ever became something. And we began to come in contact with Andrew Breitbart. The first time we saw him was in Quincy in 2009. Like, that was right after the Acorn story was released. And when a few months later, when the first National Tea Party happened in Nashville, you know, basically I said, you know, I've got this archive developing. Here comes this thing that's calling itself the first National Tea Party Convention. You know, I got to go to this because, you know, if I've got an archive developing, this will probably be an important piece. And it was at that convention that Andrew Breitbart, who had been under attack, labeled as a racist. Hannah Giles and James O'Keefe had been labeled as racist, and they were called liars. They were throwing everything at them to try and discredit them because this Acorn story was so devastating. And where most people might try to sort of hunker down or deflect or defend themselves, Andrew Breitbart had a very different tact. He declared war, and he delivered a speech in Nashville that, unlike anything I had ever seen, and I'd been, you know, to a number of these things, and I'd seen tons of speakers at these events, and, you know, even the best ones are not all that exciting. And he had this room so electrified. They were on their feet repeatedly. They were thirsting for his message of fight, take up the fight, declare war. This is a war. And I saw the reaction in that room to the message that he had, and I had now seen him more than once and had begun to see the movement that was developing with him seemingly to be a center of gravity of it. And I turned to my co-producers at the time, who worked with me on all throughout the film, Maura Flynn and Evan Maloney. You might know Evan Maloney from the film Indoctrinate You.
Mm-hmm.
I turned to them and said, this guy's our story. This guy's our story. And from that moment on, we shifted gears from from, you know, recording an archive of the Tea Party, which we ended up getting anyway because he was so involved with, you know, he spoke to their movement many times. But we shifted gears from, you know, archiving the Tea Party to following Andrew Breitbart. And we weren't even really sure what the story was going to be. We just knew that what this guy was doing was something different and electrifying and dramatic. And as a filmmaker, I was just drawn to that. You know, I didn't know what the story was going to be, but it didn't take long before we began to realize what the story was, because witnessing the way that he was maligned and witnessing the way the Tea Party was maligned and the way that those two characters, if you will, if Andrew Breitbart's one character and the Tea Party's another character, the way that they naturally intertwined and the way that they were targeted so similarly by the same people and the same organizations, the story just fit together naturally. It really emerged and showed itself. We didn't even set out to tell this story. It just became the most apparent story.
And what's next for the movie? You guys looking for a film release, DVD release? Do you have any plans in the immediate future for it?
Oh, there are plenty of plans. none that we're talking about yet. Obviously, because of this terrible event, it raised a lot of interest in it. People, like you said, people are anticipating it. There are a lot of people that want to see it happen, and so there's a lot of movement on that level. It's really unfortunate because, you know, he and I were people talk about, wow, there's so much interest in the film now because he died, and you know, some people even sort of, in not such great taste, suggest that it's a great, you know, it's a boom for the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's actually, I disagree with that, because the fact is, you know, the way that this film was going to roll out and the lightning rod that he was, we were never going to be short of interest in this project. There was never going to be a shortage of demand to see what we had captured. While there's increased interest in it now, it's definitely not, it's unfortunate. It's really not the way I had hoped that this was going to roll out.
Okay. And final question. What do you think the lasting effect of Andrew Breitbart is going to be? I mean, both specifically for conservatives and for the media in general.
I think the main lasting legacy. Well, let me rephrase that, because I think it's almost too early to tell what his legacy is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I certainly can see people, his detractors, trying to redefine what his legacy is. that he's totally discredited and was a liar and a deceptive editor. And one thing I can tell you, this film is going to do is it's going to make sure that Andrew Breitbart has the last word. Insofar as those people are concerned, I think that one of the most impressive things that I've seen people draw strength from and take away from the lessons of his living and his passing is this movement. I don't know if you've seen it online. I am Breitbart. We are all Breitbart.
I was actually part of a video.
So there you go. You know, it is unbelievable to see the people who identified with Andrew Breitbart now picking up the mantle and saying, now it's my turn. I need to not be afraid. I need to fight. I need to join this fight, because he was fighting it for us. And everywhere now I look and I see, you know, on Twitter, you see so many people that have taken his image and made it their own avatars, you know, people who are tweeting with "I am Breitbart." It people have drawn a tremendous amount of strength from his example. Don't be afraid to confront your opposition with the truth. You know, he used to say, if you want to expose the other side, all you have to do is pick up a video camera, aim it at them, and press record. And I think that people have taken that message to heart.
Andrew Marcus, director, producer, filmmaker behind Hating Breitbart, Twitter.com/HatingBreitbart. Any place else people can get more info?
That should do it. If you go to HatingBreitbart.com, you can join our mailing list, and we will update you as we have developments for the film.
Okay. Well, good luck with the movie, and thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you
soon. Thank you so much for having me on.
So there you have it, Andrew Marcus, the director, producer, filmmaker behind Hating Breitbart, which, in case you didn't hear it, because as I'm re-listening to this interview, I completely stuttered over the title, www.hatingbreitbart.com, twitter.com/hatingbreitbart, and I figure the best way to end this special episode of The Right Hook is with our friend from Misfit Politics with their I Am Breitbart video. We'll see you soon.
Andrew Breitbart might be gone, but his spirit is more alive than ever.
I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am.
Through his accomplishments, Breitbart single-handedly changed the narrative.
Everything has changed in the last few years. Conservatives used to take it, and we're not taking it anymore.
He gave a voice to those who originally had none.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
His journalism taught those who sought to take advantage of others.
Hate these bastards.
To keep their heads down.
Bring it on!
Because of him, they know now that we're watching them.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
We're not happy.
I am Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
Because of Andrew Breitbart, the old media is being pushed away.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
And being replaced by the new media.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
The citizen journalist is on the rise.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
Through his works, we've seen a new respect be given to the ordinary blogger.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
Because of him, conservatism has now gone on the offensive.
And you're going to have a hell of a time in 2012 because America has finally awoken to your Saul Alinsky bullshit.
The alt-cons are coming to the forefront.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
And thanks to Andrew Breitbart, we have the tools necessary to win.
We're going to go after you. I bought a dog whistle. I bought a dog whistle factory, and I'm giving you dog whistles.
Andrew Breitbart never gave up, and neither will we.
I am Andrew Breitbart.
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 War.
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 War.